So I'll be talking about attitudes toward new social and biomedical HIV prevention techniques among male couples. And I just wanted to give you a heads up that this is preliminary data and it's part of a much larger study. So I'll only be presenting a little slice of it. And I'd like to acknowledge the National Institutes of Mental Health for the funding and my position, and then also the couples who have participated in the study. A little bit of background, I don't need to necessarily belabor this to the audience, but as we know, MSM remains disproportionately impacted by HIV and other STDs. And then most recent estimates indicate that between 58 to 78% of HIV-positive men acquired their infection within the context of a relationship. In other words, from their main sex partners. And that research has shown that a variety of relationship dynamics are associated with HIV risk among MSM couples. And I can give you some examples. So relationship satisfaction, commitment, trust, aspects of sexual agreements, such that higher scores or levels of those factors provide more of a protective factor against acquiring HIV. Yet most of that research has been done in various cities in the U.S., such that Portland, Seattle, San Francisco, some research in New York City, but it remains questionable as to what the current trend is across the U.S. And so with this study, the Guide Talk study, it was more exploratory to find out what the actual dynamics and behaviors are occurring among this population in the U.S. And then obviously the attitudes towards adopting and using new biomedical prevention techniques. So it was a cross-sectional study targeted MSM couples who were 18 and older, have had UAI or oral sex in the previous 3 months, and that the couples have been together for 3 months or longer. It's a self-administered electronic questionnaire of about 200 questions. It took the participants on average about 30 minutes to complete. I used a partner referral system in order to collect dyadic data, meaning data from both men and the couple, and all recruitment was done electronically. By placing paid ads on Facebook for about a period of 10 weeks last summer. Most of the participants were incentivized, and I used three different images, including this one, that one, and this one. A variety of demographics that were standard that were collected, sexual behavior, as you can notice, mostly looking at UAI, variety of testing questions about frequency and patterns, number of relationship characteristics, and then what this presentation is about is attitudes toward new techniques, or how likely would these men use certain techniques, such as couples testing, sexual health communication program, a new condom that would sustain erections longer and firmer, rapid HIV tests at home, using that to screen sex partners, an enema that contains HIV prevention medications, such as pre-exposure prophylaxis, using PrEP right before having condomless anal intercourse, PEP, and then PrEP if they are okay using condoms consistently for anal sex, and then also PrEP if they found condom use difficult. A number of relationship dynamics were also asked that were validated measures. Investment model looked at commitment, trust for trust, investment scale for sexual agreements, sexual relationship power for control and decision-making dominance, mutual constructive and mutual avoidance and withholding regarding communication patterns. So in all, about 1,800 MSM completed this survey. For complete data, and of that, we have dyadic data representing 361 couples. So I'll describe that sample now. On average, the mean age was 33 on the individual and couple level. The range was 16 to 68 years old. About relationship length was about 5 years with a range of 3 to 420 months, and most of them identified as gay. As you'll see, the representation of where they lived in the U.S., about a third from the West. And for race and ethnicity, most of them identified as white. However, if you look, this is an individual level. If you look at the couple level, about 40% of the couples were of mixed race. Most of them were highly educated, with some college or associate or trade degree or higher. Most of them were employed. As you notice, that about half had an income of $30,000 or less. 43% were current students, 75% had health insurance, and of those who had health insurance, about two-thirds stated that their primary doctor knew about their same-sex behaviors. We also asked about PrEP and PEP, about knowledge of and current use. So 23% have heard of PrEP, 28% have heard of PEP, and about less than 1% have used one or both of them in the previous 3 months. For status and testing, 85% were HIV negative circumcordant couples, 11% were discordant. The last HIV test on average occurred about 2 years ago, last STD test on average about a year ago, and 79% of the men stated that they discussed their HIV status before first sex with their main partner. For testing patterns, since the onset of the relationship, most of the men, or not most, but 22% stated that tested once a year, 27% stated that not since the relationship started, 24% or a quarter only have felt at risk, and 18% every 6 months, and then to a lesser percentage, 9% every 3 to 4 months. So quite varied. For UAI within and outside the relationship, as expected and sort of more the norms across the other studies previously, we found that 80% had insertive and or receptive UAI with their main partner. And then of those men, 25% had sex with someone else. And as you can see, the percentages there broken down based on the role of UAI, based on the HIV status of the secondary partner. Men also stated that they had a sexual agreement, or 70% of them did. However, on a couple level, that's not necessarily the case. So 57% of the men actually had both partners concurring that they did, in fact, have an agreement. 17%, both men stated that they didn't, yet a quarter, 26%, disagreed. So clearly they're not on the same page. Regards to willingness to use new prevention techniques, and this is sort of the main point of this presentation. So as you remember, the range was from 0 to 4, 0 not at all to 4 extremely likely. Most of these men reported between somewhat likely and very likely that they would use these techniques. So for couples testing is 2.7. I highlighted the ones in yellow that were highest scores. So rapid HIV test at home, 2.6. And then use of PEP, which I haven't, which I don't think has been really utilized and promoted, most likely because of the cost associated with it, had the actual highest score among these men of 2.9. So with regards to implications for HIV prevention, actually, before I go do that, I want to mention as a side note, I looked at this data regarding among the couples who had sexual agreements, where the couples lived, whether it was more of an urban area or a rural area, and then also based on age. And although it's not on here, it'll be coming out in a paper hopefully soon that states that couples in the rural areas actually scored higher to use these particular services, particularly couples testing and rapid HIV tests at home. And then those who concurred about having an agreement also agreed with that. And along with the YMSM couples, or those who had both men with the ages of 29 and younger. Now, for implications for HIV prevention, obviously additional research is warranted because I didn't explore what kind of barriers that the men might encounter if they want to actually access these types of techniques. And then regarding the testing patterns are quite varied, and so we need to have a better understanding how their behaviors with other partners outside the relationship with regard to the timing of testing actually occurs. And the feasibility of actually using rapid HIV tests at home, and also gay male couples or couples counseling and testing, which is will soon be implemented on the wide scale across the US. And then to compare all this to traditional versus more alternative HIV prevention strategies. So would the men actually be willing to use condoms outside the relationship, or will the couples actually adapt and use PEP or PrEP where appropriate? And what would be the comfort level within the relationship about using those techniques regards to HIV risk and minimizing acquisition of any STDs. And then I think one thing that would be really appropriate is to actually involve the couples in the research, more of a community-based participatory research to find out what exactly they would want, if anything, regarding HIV prevention and how that would actually look and work for them. Thank you.
Thank you.
Can we have a question for Jason immediately, please? Before we go to the general discussion.
Good morning. Good morning. Just be safe. Very nice presentation. I have two questions.
Sure.
One is about the length of relationship. I mean, on your upper end, there are a couple of people who have been together longer than most marriages.
Right.
So do you intend to look at your data, kind of stratify by different categories of length of the relationship? Because I think it would be interesting to see. And the other thing is that, if I remember the data correctly, you had about 11% discordance, but it wasn't clear to me how much concordance you had with HIV-positive partners. And if you did have concordance between HIV-positive partners, did they become concordant during the course of the relationship, or did they enter into the relationship as a concordant HIV-positive couple?
Well, I can answer that right now for you. So I will stratify the data according to relationship length. I know offhand, because I've been sort of living and breathing this, that the upper range of 420 months, I think, was maybe two or three couples. So that's not the norm by any means. So there's a wide gap between like what's the actual median versus the range. And then secondly, your question was regarding whether HIV is acquired while the couple had been together as an actual couple. And there have been a few cases. I haven't necessarily dissected and looked at data yet, but that's definitely in the works.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Did you look at those people who said that they would be willing or interested in a couple's testing? Mm-hmm. Did you look to see what the was about whether or not those people, those couples had a couple's agreement?
Most of them were negative. Like overwhelming majority.
And what I mean is, I'm not saying it correct, but those couples who said that they had an agreement, there's about 26% didn't.
Right, disagreed.
So, on those couples that said that they would be interested in couples testing, was there a relationship between them?
There was. So, most of them who concurred about having an agreement, so both men reporting yes, scored much higher on actually using or willing to use couples-based testing. Yeah.